Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, in this past year, the year of our Lord 2017, the following members from among us have exchanged time for eternity. Student Gerard Brun, April 1, 2017. Mrs. Johanna de Kock, May 7, 2017. Miss Meta de Puter, December 6, 2017. Isaiah 40:6-8. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let us sing, therefore, Psalter 247, stanzas 3 through 6. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. 3 through 6 of Psalter 247.
the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this morning. You can find recorded in the 2 Corinthians, and thereof the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that had wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also had given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, that and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we command not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God didst beseech you by us. We pray, O in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge thee, and that thou hast brought us safely together in this morning of this newly begun year, sparing each and every one of us to this moment. But we have also heard the names read in the midst of us, who have been taken from among us in the year that is gone by. And so the earthly house of this tabernacle has for them been dissolved, that thou may remember each and every one that mourn, and that thou wouldst give what is comfort indeed, for we are miserable comforters. But thou alone can give that comfort that is able to give a man rest and peace in his soul in this life, that thou would show thyself to be near unto them in all loneliness, in all the trials and difficulties as they go forward into this new year. And wilt thou give each of us understanding hearts? For thy servant we have heard did desire to be clothed upon from that house which is from heaven. Oh, that thou may give to each and every one of us that consideration in our hearts in this year that is to come. Oh, we ask of thee, Lord, that it may be a profitable year, not in the first place for all the temporal things which eventually will pass away, though we prosper well in this world. But naked came we out of our mother's womb, and naked shall we return thither. Oh, there is a substance to be found in thee, and there is a treasure to be found that moth and rust that cannot corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through nor steal. There is a treasure that goes that a man can receive in this life, that goes with him out of this life, that is able to bring him over the swelling of the Jordan and give him a right to enter into that eternal bliss. Oh Lord, that thou wouldst give unto each and every one of us considering hearts. For we have heard in the day of yesterday how wretched and how miserable that we are by nature. Oh, then if we shall die the same way that we have been born, then it shall be an increase in our wretchedness and in our misery. And then for there to be no hope to all eternity, oh, while we still live in this world, and that it may be preached unto us that there is still a way, that thou art the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, that there may be an expectation born in our hearts in a day of grace, that that dear Son of thee, in whom thou art so well pleased, and maybe also may become precious and necessary and suitable to each and every one of us. Oh, that thou may look upon the need of our souls. Lord, that thou wouldst not leave us to go lost, and that we could not leave each other either so easily to go lost, but that we may admonish one another while it is still called today. O Lord, thou knowest our carnality, our vanity, our worldliness, our emptiness. O thou art able to grant unto us new hearts, a new life. O draw us then, for we shall then run after thee, that thou may give thy blessing upon thy word, that it may be able to go forth in the year that is set before us. O Lord, we beseech of thee, that thou may give unto us also strength to go before this our flock. Oh, hast thou not sent us to this place? Hast thou not given us to be with this people? That we may be enabled then with a little strength in our body to go forth with the teaching of the youth, with the preaching to the congregation, with the visiting and all that is necessary. O Lord, thou art God, and thou hast created us in our bodies, and thou art able to give us strength also for the day. Oh, that thou may give us also submission to all thy ways. But wilt thou bless thy word also when it may be read, that thou may give attentive ears and patient hearts, that thou may give, that the hearts may be given to hear also, and that thy work may become apparent in both young and old. Remember us as a consistory, that thou may go before us in all the labors that are laid upon us, that the seriousness of the task that is laid on us may be felt within us, that we may need thee in everything, and that thou might show thyself as he who hast called and sent us to these labors, that thou may give also in this year to come a deacon in the midst of us, that may be of thy choosing. O Lord, that thou may thus help us, that thou may remember all thy servants. O give an increase in this year in their number. O give us a little cry to thee. O give us a place in our inner chamber, for the sake of the welfare of thy Zion, and that thou wouldst provide for us as a denomination, men who are truly converted and called by thee, sent forth into thy vineyard. O Lord, thou alone art watching over thy people. Do it then for thy name's sake. Remember the students. Remember all those that labor also upon the mission field. Wilt thou look upon us? Remember our school also in the year that is to come. For thou knowest all that is coming against us. Oh, we beseech thee that thou wouldst watch over and protect us in thy mercy, and that thou wouldst not deal with us according to our sins. O give us to see that we have departed from thee. O give us a more careful life. Give us to walk according to thy holy word. And could it please thee to turn back again when it will be brought into the courts? O Lord, that thou wouldst show thy favor, for thou hast the heart also of the judges in thy hand. O that thou wouldst turn back again the enemy, and could it please thee to supply for all also the monetary needs that are among us, for those needs also are great, though they are temporal, for we cannot provide for ourselves. Wilt thou give what is necessary then to the fathers, that they may be able to do their labors, and that thou may prosper the work of their hands? Also, when we hope in time to come make an addition to our own sanctuary, O Lord, that thou wouldst provide for us in all these things, wilt thou look upon all those that have special needs. Remember in a special way our old people, those that are in the Bethesda nursing home, those that are still in their own homes, those that are cared for by others, when they are looking also forward now to a new year. But thou knowest all the thoughts that will multiply. Oh, that thou may be near unto them, O Lord, especially when it can be that the fears they are increasing year by year. Oh, that thou wouldst give them what is necessary to live and what is necessary to die, and each of us together, that we might learn to die before we have to die. Also, the children and the young people, all of us together. Lord, wilt thou look upon us in this hour? Give us sufficient strength to bring thy word in this morning hour. Oh, that thou may fill us with a zeal for thee, a love for souls, and that thou thyself would be in the midst of us as one that doth bless us. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 112, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Withhold not thou thy grace from me. O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show. Thy truth is be still my stay. Let them preserve me where I go and keep me every day. Psalter 112, stanzas 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, on behalf of the consistory, we would like to wish each and every one of you the Lord's richest blessings for the year that is now set before us. We do not know, the Lord only knows, what this year that is to bring for us, for our families, for our congregation and denomination. When we are young, then our hearts, they are filled with anticipation. We are looking forward, perhaps, children, young people, to the new year. We are filled maybe with plans, what we want to accomplish. That is natural. But we ask you this question. Do you think also of the Lord when you think of the future? Because we read in God's word that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord, he directeth his steps. Thus, do you look also for the guidance of the Lord in all of your plans? When we are old, then it is possible that our hearts, they are filled with fear when we are looking towards the future. Because Solomon says that fears shall be in the way. That is also so natural after that sin has come into the world. But we have heard that lately, that there is one comfort in life and in death, that we may know that comfort in this year, both young and old, then it will be a profitable year for us. What is congregation a New Year's resolution? There are many who desire to make a new beginning at the beginning of a new year, that they may leave an old life and old habits perhaps behind them, and that they may have a new life, a new beginning. That can be a good thing, if those resolutions are good resolutions, of course. But how many of the resolutions of man that are made on New Year's Day are all brought to nothing? Even the natural man, he is very often disappointed with himself. But are we also disappointed with ourselves? Are we grieved with ourselves for the same reason that the Lord himself is grieved with us? Are we grieved because of our sin? And have we a desire on this New Year's Day also to have a new beginning, that we could leave that life of sin behind us, that we could walk in a new and in a holy life? There are two things, you know that, young people. There are two things that are necessary for a man to fall into sin. That is the opportunity and the desire. And if you say the desire lives in my heart, have you then a resolution in your heart that you may stay away from all opportunity to sin, that you might not fall therein? Why is it so difficult for man to change? Well, change that must come from the inside. Change must come from our heart. We can make a change in an outward way alone, but then it is often just like the morning cloud that comes and that disappears. Our text in this morning that speaks about a different change. that speaks about a change that is not superficial. It speaks about a change that is not just temporary. It speaks about a change which is in the heart. It speaks about a change which is permanent. Have you a desire for such a change? We wish in this morning that we had the voice, that we had the tongue of an angel, that we could lure the hearts of young and old, that they might desire such a change in your life, and that your heart would resolve to seek for that change, because we read, "Those that seek me early, they shall find me." Our text that can be found in the portion that was read to us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the 17th verse. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So far, the words of our text. A new creature in Christ. In two simple thoughts. First, what it means to be in Christ. Second, what it means to be a new creature. A new creature in Christ. First, what it means to be in Christ. Second, what it means to be a new creature. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," what does that mean? In the first place, it speaks about a representative, to be in Christ. Thus, we know what a representative is in this world, in the realm of our government, so that there is one that is our head. He makes decisions for us. He speaks for us in the great assemblies of this world. We read in the Bible about two representatives, that is, Adam and Christ. There are none other. Thus, man, he is for the state of his soul, either in Adam or he is in Christ. Paul, he says that Adam, he is the figure of him that is to come. By nature, every man is born in Adam. What does that mean? That means that he is under him as his head. That means that he is in the covenant which Adam has himself sworn with God. That is the covenant of works. And then we read also what it is to be in Christ. What does that mean? That means that a man, he is in that covenant which is sworn by Christ himself with his Father. If any man be in Christ, if we are by nature in Adam, and Paul speaks about a man now being in Christ, and that it is impossible to be in two covenants at one time, and then it is evident that a man, he can in this life receive a change of heads. That though he be today in Adam, represented by that covenant, that it is possible that he come to be in Christ, and that instead he come to be represented by him, and that he would speak for him in the great assembly. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, then it is not only as a representative, but we read in God's word that we are members of his body. Thus, it is much more than just being represented. But when we read that the church is a member of Christ, that is speaking about a union. That man is not only represented by him, but he is actually joined unto him. And if he is joined unto him, then he is joined also unto his Father. Because Christ, in his high priestly prayer, then he prayed unto his Father. And he asked his Father that they may be one. He said, even as we are one. I, he says, in them, and thou in me. Congregation, is that not a wonder? Have we ever considered what that means? To be actually joined unto God? To be made one with him? The Father has decreed, in his decree from that never begun eternity, that he would make a creature so high that that creature would be enabled by him to become one with himself. That is not possible in the first covenant. It is not possible in the covenant of works. Because had Adam and we after Adam completely obeyed that covenant by obeying the entire law of God, then we would have become friends of God. But the Lord, he has desired already in eternity to make man more than just a friend. Decreed that he would also bring man even into a blessed union with himself. And he describes that union in his word as a marriage. Thus, he will take his church as his own bride into a blessed union. Who can fathom what that is? What that means with all its ramifications for a man to be brought into that blessed union with God? But how does that union take place? How does a man come into this blessed union? Well, we read in God's word, Paul, he says, we have access, that is, a person is able to receive it. We have access, he says, by faith. Thus, faith, that is the instrument by which a man is receiving not only this new representation, this new head, but by which a man is entering into that blessed union with God. That is not based on the merits of the bride. That is based on the merits of the bridegroom. So that bride is receiving this as a free, a sovereign gift. Think about Ruth. She was a Moabitess. She knew that so well. She knew what that meant from her own side. She said to Boaz, I am not like one of thine handmaidens. She felt it. Within herself, she said, I do not belong. I am an outsider. I am of the enemy. I am a heathen. I am a Gentile. I am a sinner. But Naomi had spoken to Ruth, and she spoke to her about a law. It was not Ruth's law. It was the Lord's law. It was the law of the near kinsman. And Ruth, though she was an outsider, though she was a heathen, though she was a Gentile, by faith, Ruth went in and she uncovered his feet. Where was her hope? Where was her expectation? It was in the law of the Lord. Spread thy skirt over thine handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman. Oh, do you understand how it is that Paul, he says, we have access by faith? Will you go into, sinner, to uncover his feet and to say to him in this year, O Lord, spread thy skirt over thine handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman. What is the result of that? The result of that we read in our text. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What does that mean? We see that in our second thought. What it means to be a new creature. When a bride, she is taken by a bridegroom, then she enters into a new life. We have those in our midst. They are looking forward to that. The day when they may be united together. And when she may receive a new head. And when she also may be united unto her bridegroom. We say a new life. Why? Because she leaves her father and her mother. And then she cleaves unto her husband. Thus she comes under a new rule. It is a different rule than she was under before. It is a different person. But not only is it a different person, it is also a different kind of rule. Because this is not her father, but now she comes under the rule of a husband. And we know that the relation between a husband and a wife that is different than a husband, than the relation between a father and a daughter. How is it different? The relation between a father and a daughter, that is very, very close. That is a blood relation, we say. But the relation between a husband and a wife is closer. Because a husband and a wife are joined together. And the Word of God says they become one. And thus, there is a difference in the very type of rule itself that that bridegroom is coming under. She comes under a new rule. She comes under a new protection. That is a different kind of protection. Not only a different person, but it is a different kind of protection. Why? Because that husband, because she becomes one with him, then he is ready to give even his very life for her. that union that is attended with a new right. She receives new rights. She receives a new privilege. Why? Because everything that was her husband's through that union, when she becomes his, everything that was his now also becomes hers. And she may now say that it is my very own. Thus, she receives a brand new inheritance. That union that is attended with a new purpose, it is attended with new desires. Because we read that the wife, she seeks how she may please her husband. Thus you understand that there is a new purpose in her life. Everything is now directed to the desires and to the will of her new husband. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A creature, that very word, that speaks about a creation. We cannot create anything, can we, children? You make something, but you cannot create creation that belongs to God. Any being that comes into this world, that is a being that has been created. Thus, when we hear in God's word that it is speaking about a new creation, then immediately our thoughts, they go to its divine origin. This new creation is not something that man himself can work. That new creation is something that is wrought by the almighty power of God himself. Are there those whose hearts leap within them when they hear that this is now a work of the almighty hand of God? A leaping of the heart with the thought of the possibility of becoming a new creature, a regenerated creature, to become a new person? Is your moisture turned into the drought of summer because of the sinfulness of your being? Because of your wretchedness? Because of your guilt? Because of the corruption? Do you feel something of the inability to change that wretched nature that is always cleaving to things temporal, to things vain, to things carnal, to things, yes, sinful in themselves? Do you feel, do you experience by labors the impossibility of changing that heart that is beating within you? So that when you hear that this is a work, an almighty work of the Spirit of the Lord, and that it works in you a hope, that it is yet possible that also this heart may be changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Actually, Paul is referring to a prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah, he says, on behalf of the Lord, for behold, he says, I create a new heaven and a new earth. And he says, the former things shall not be remembered, neither shall they come to mind. A new heavens and a new earth. What is Isaiah speaking about? He speaks about the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus on the earth. He said things are going to change so that it is going to be just as if that there was a brand new heavens, just as if there was a brand new earth, that there is going to be a great change in the world, that there is going to be a new order of things upon the meriting of the salvation of the church, upon the applying of that salvation of that church in the world. Thus, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There is a radical, there is a great change. Adam was his father, but Christ now becomes her husband. Thus she comes under a new covenant that is so new. It is so different for that people. What is so different about it? There is no curse in it. There is no curse in it. And thus the Lord in that covenant, he takes away all cause for fear. That is a different life. That is now a new man. The law by which that people are governed, that is by the law of the love of Christ. He has become a new creature. What is so new? Well, there is no breaking of that covenant. There is no breaking of that covenant because of those who have sworn that covenant together. That is a marriage covenant. And a marriage congregation, husbands, wives. A marriage covenant is to be an unbreakable covenant. Let us never be influenced by the wickedness of the world in which we dwell. That covenant is to be unbreakable. Why? Because it is a type. It is a type of the covenant between Christ and his church. Is there coming a time when our young people and our children will no longer understand, perceive the beauties of the covenant between Christ and his church, because Satan has broken down the image thereof, the image that God has given for this covenant in the world, so broken down that man does not understand anymore its unbreakable character. And Satan attempts to take away all the comfort that is due, that belongs unto that true church of God. And yet, we know that the covenants in this world, though they are not broken, they still come to an end. But this covenant, that is a covenant that remains even in death. Death is not able to separate Christ from his church. Neither is sin able to make that separation anymore. Sin has broken that first covenant. But sin is no longer able to break this new covenant. Therefore, he is a new creature because of the faithfulness of that husband. Why? Because he says, though thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return unto me, saith the Lord. Thus, a covenant that is giving unto that church a new consolation, a new certainty, a certainty which is belonging unto that church, a certainty which cannot be found in that old covenant anymore. It is a hope. It is an expectation that is belonging unto that people. He is a new creature. Has he guilt? Indeed. But he is a forgiven creature. Why? Because he is in Christ. So that there is no law that is able to condemn him anymore. He is in Christ. Has he still his own personal corruption? Ask that people. Are they pure in and of themselves? Ask that people. Ask the Apostle Paul. The good that I would not, that I do. But it is a people who are in a warfare. And it is a people not only forgiven, but it is a people also sanctified. Why? Because they are in Christ. What does Paul say? He says, ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified by the Spirit of our God. What does that mean? The filthy garments are taken away, and they are clothed with a change of raiment. Oh, let faith behold it once. Let true faith have an eye for a moment to see what is now included when they may be in Christ. What will they say? They say, I am black, but I am comely. What does Isaiah say? He says, I greatly rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Because he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of his righteousness, even as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Oh, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This is the aim. This is the purpose of the Lord. Not just to forgive his church, but to wash them, but to cleanse them, and to make them into a new creature. Why? Well, that he may bring them to himself. And thus they are a reconciled people. What does Paul say here? He says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, to wit that God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Reconcile. Can we fathom what that is? To be reconciled unto God, to be accepted of him, and to be received of him into a new communion, into a new favor. Oh, could we speak with the tongue of an angel concerning what that may be, to be reconciled unto God, and that the heart of young and old may be resolved. Oh, resolve to seek this blessing above every blessing that can be received in this new year. Let us sing. 125, 1 through 4. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world, and every former friend. 1 through 4 of 125. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Why does the Apostle Paul speak these words? What is the connection of these words to this chapter? The words that he is speaking to these Corinthians. There were enemies in the church. They were haters of the gospel that Paul brought. And they have attacked Paul in his person in order that they may also attack the word that Paul brought to make it seem as if it was contemptible. We know that Paul had some kind of a weakness, a thorn in his flesh, he calls it. We do not know exactly what it is, but we read that the enemies, Paul says, they said of him that his bodily presence was weak and his speech was contemptible. That is, some think that he had some kind of an impediment in his speech. Nevertheless, whatever it was, they mocked. They mocked with God's servant. What does Paul do? He did not begin to boast about himself, but he began to defend that authority which God had given unto him. And he said to them that their judgments, they were judgments that were made after the flesh. That is, that you judge of me according to the flesh and according to what man in the world judges, who is looking for high things and who is mocking with or looking down upon things that are lowly in this world. And he says that such judgments, they change when you would be made a new creation, a new creature. He says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. We do not know any man after the flesh. We do not judge people anymore as a new creature. We do not judge people anymore with those same kinds of judgments. And indeed, he admits that he also once even judged the Lord Jesus Christ the same way. He says, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Yet we have known him after the flesh. He means we have judged Christ before, we judged him after the flesh. We despised him. He did that before he was converted, boys and girls, right? He despised the Lord Jesus for his lowliness, for his humility. But Paul says after that he was made a new creature, well, then his judgments and his views about things, they have very much changed. And then he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It is, congregation, so necessary that our judgments, that our views, that our opinions of things change. That they change between the cradle and the grave, the way that we think about things. About what kinds of things? Well, it needs to change the way that we think about happiness. What is happiness? Because the Lord says in his word that the Lord knoweth the thoughts of men, that they are what? Godly? Spiritual? No. Vain. Vain. Empty. Carnal. How is it? Is it not the truth, what the Lord says? When we think about the year ahead, what do we think about? All the things in this world, all the things that belong to the time. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. They are vain. That has to change. Those views, they must change. Our views, our opinions about death, they need to become different. You say, I believe that I have to die. Is that so? We do not. We believe our neighbor has to die. But we do not believe that I have to die. That is according to the word of God. They are actually thoughts we do not say, the Bible says. The Bible says we only think them. They are secret thoughts. Or secretly in our heart, then we say that their houses, they shall last forever. And our dwelling places to all generations. That is our thought. But it is false. And it needs to change. We need to have a new opinion. We need to have a new view also about ourselves. For what think we of ourselves? We think that we are, well, pretty good people, especially if we are religious. But that is not what the Word of God says. Our views, they must change about what sin is, about how evil that it is, about who God is, about what justice is, about what judgment is. You know what we read in God's Word? That God requireth that which is past. Do you believe that? Do you remember the sins? What did David say? He says, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Do we remember them? The Lord sees all. The Lord knows all. The Lord forgets nothing, and every secret work that will be brought by Him into judgment. Oh, how our views, our opinions, they need to change. Our views of Christ. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says He has no form, He has no comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. We look at Him, we listen, we hear, and we view just as Paul did before he was made a new creature. We review Him after the flesh. Oh, do you ever feel how wretched that you are? Do you ever feel how miserable that you are? Do you ever mourn? Do you ever grieve for that wretchedness and for that misery? Because that is in the first place necessary. But do you believe that that also can change? I did not say that you can change it. Because then I would lie to you. And if I would so lie to you, then hopefully your consistory that would take me off of this pulpit. No, we do not say that you can make that change. Because if we say that you can make that change, then we will be a great discouragement to those who experience the truth, who experience that they are not able to make that change, and yet it can change. Do you believe that? It can change. It can change because God can change it. It can change because the Spirit of the Lord is not dead. but the Spirit of the Lord that still lives. How can it change? We need to be united unto Christ. We need to be married unto Him by a true, by a living faith. Who are the suitable subjects for that? Who is suitable to become His bride? To be brought by Himself into His own bosom? Who is suitable? We do not have to answer that, because Christ Himself answers that question. He says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Publicans, sinners, a black bride, a Moabitess. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Such He invites. Are they here too? Oh, may they be here in this year. Such He invites. Such He draws to Himself and to His Father in order that He may receive all the honor and all the glory. And He makes them a new creature. What do we read here? That they may no longer live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. O people of the Lord, may that be so. May that be evident in this year. That you live not unto yourself, but you live unto Him who died for you and who rose again. Say, it is so short. That is true. But what does Peter say? He says, we look for a new heavens. We look for a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And thus that new creature is also a waiting creature. A waiting creature. You say, do they wait to die? Do not say that. Paul, he could say that. But they cannot all say that. But do you know what they wait for? Oh, they wait for that body of sin and death to be put away. They wait for that perfection. When the grief, the daily grief, that they cannot live unto Him, that will be forever and forever done away. Congregation, it is now the new year. What will it bring? What will it profit us? Do we have a resolution? Oh, could we resolve? Could we have a true resolution in this year? Oh, not so much about all that is in this life, but that our heart may resolve to seek Him while He may be found. Do not be discouraged because of your impossibility. Because Christ, He answers that too. He says it is true. With man it is impossible. But, He says, not with God. Not with God. Will you remember that? For with God, all things are possible. Oh, then say with Jacob, O Lord, I will not let Thee go, except Thou bless me. What does Christ say? He says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force, that may be our experience. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Wilt thou humble us under all that thou hast given? When thy word may go forth for a few moments, O Lord, thou can bring it in our hearts. O change our hearts. O take us, cut us off from Adam, and engraft us into thyself, that we may be in thee, and that we may receive all the benefits to be a new creature, that may be evident in the midst of us as a congregation. Bring us safely home. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is Psalter 159, stanzas 2, 3, and 4, and we ask the congregation to please remain seated after singing. 159, 2 through 4. In thee my soul hath shelter found, and thou hast been from foes around the tower to which I flee. And what follows? 2, 3, and 4 of 159.
dear Reverend and Hollander. Also, on behalf of the consistory congregation, it is fitting, and we like to say a few words in this New Year's morning to you. Last year, it was not possible. You were not able to be with us, and that was missed. And this year, we may be thankful that it is so, that the Word, God's Word, was again brought in our midst by you this morning. And then many wishes are spoken in this morning, and that is good. We wish each other the Lord's blessing in this year, help and nearness, and that is all out of the kindness of each of our hearts. And of course, we wish that to you as well as we have done this morning. But then I thought we all, and you said it this morning, we have thoughts, what shall this new year now bring? How shall it now go? And then it is for each and every one of us. We began this morning with reading of the names who began this year with us, but who did not finish that year. And that is now a possibility for each and every one of us. It most likely will be for some of us, the last year that we begin this year. But then we see in God's Word, and then it says in Psalm 146, verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. And then it says in the Dutch that the Lord shall reign to all eternity, from generation to generation. And what a comfort that now is. Then we have all our needs and we have our desires. But that counsel of the Lord, that shall now stand. And that is now a blessing for the church. We have heard in this morning also how in your prayer you were able to again say, the Lord has brought me to this pulpit. This is your pulpit. And now in the Lord's way, in the reigning of the Lord, that you may also stand here this morning and also in this year, that it is in the Lord's hand, in the Lord's counsel. What a comfort lies therein, that it is not found in us, but that the Lord gives that now, that you now may bring forth that word of the Lord, as you did in this morning, our death in Adam and that life, that new life in Christ. What a wonder that shall now be, if that may now also be wrought in the Lord's way in the midst of our congregation. And then a few weeks ago, not even that long, we were in the midst of the congregation, and then there were 70 children up front here, ages between 6 and 12, from generation to generation. And that is now the future of the church. That is now where you now may bring yet your word to, and that the Lord shall look for that blessing. The Lord shall grant that blessing. He is yet willing to work, that that word may go forth. And that is the future of the church. It is the Lord's work. What a comfort. What an encouragement it may be. I hope you may see it that way, that you may experience that way from Sabbath day to Sabbath day. That the Lord now grants that what he wills. And then it says here, so clearly, then it says, O Zion, even thy God, O Zion. That is now the God of Zion. Nothing shall fall by the wayside. It is his work, his doing. I hope you may experience much of that from Sabbath day to Sabbath day. Sure, that there may be days again you are not able to do it what you would wish to do, but that the Lord may give them in the home what is so necessary. And what is in the home comes in the pulpit. And if the Lord's blessing rests upon it, it's his way. And that would be so great. And then congregation, what see we now in this? We may again begin a new year, finished a year, and then we look in the world and we say how much there is to worry about. And we do. In the school, in the world. But again, it says the Lord reigns, that we may give it now over in his hand. But it not only says it reigns, but it says it, even thy God, O Zion. And then it says that to Zion, God's people. The devil also reigns in this world. He does not stop. And his reign seems to become stronger and stronger as time goes on. But let us remember that the Lord is Almighty. It is the Lord that reigns. But where do we now belong to? Which king do we now belong? And I know young people especially, where it says from generation to generation. And then it is included that also out of this generation, if the Lord will give it, that there shall be a people that shall praise his name, that shall fill the offices, that shall be on the pulpits, that lies now in that generation. But what a responsibility that now is, when you may as this morning be under that testimony, and how it now may, if it all is well, whether it's in the reading or in the preaching, Sabbath after Sabbath, you may now hear that way, where we must turn unto the Lord. May the Lord bless it, and may he grant that we may seek him while we are young, but also when we are older, that it is yet the day of grace. It is the Lord's counsel. It is the reigning of the Lord. It is all to his honor and glory, because that's what it says in the end, that praise ye the Lord. In Dutch it says, hallelujah. And that is now all to his honor and to his praise. We do not deserve the least of the blessing. We do not deserve that you would stand one more time upon that pulpit. But I hope the Lord may give it much in this year, that you may go before us and bring his word, that our eyes may be upon him. Our prayers for you, us consistory, us congregation, and that the Lord may so remember us. Let us sing from Psalter 400 and thereof the stanzas 3 and 7. And we will do that instead of the doxology, and we will do that standing. Psalter 400, the stanzas 3 and 7. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. And what follows in the seventh, 403:7.
Thank you for your words, Mr. Moons. There is nothing better than to be able to bow under that king. We hope that the Lord may give that to all of us. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.